Okay. I thought I'd do a quick audio post today just for the people who like audio better than reading or people who enjoy it as much or just want to change. It's somewhat hard to tell whether the audio posts are more popular or more interesting to people, or whether it's just that I tend to publish them at a later time during the day. My written posts I tend to publish as soon as I'm done writing and editing them, first thing in the morning. Whereas the audios I tend to set up to go out midday, so maybe people see them who wouldn't see the written posts normally. But I don't want to push them back. I don't really want to try that particular experiment. Mainly because I just don't really want to change things that don't need to be changed. Anyway, the thing I sort of wanted to talk about ties into what was in my blog post today. Things that I've been thinking about. You may recall, if you follow my blog, that I've been having trouble finding any books that are interesting to read. And yes, I think yesterday morning I was trying to think about what I could read, so I decided to look on Amazon and see what it was recommending to me and take a glance at a few just to see if there's anything that caught my attention. Most of the ones I saw for quite a while scrolling through, meh. Then I saw an interesting title, and that title is The Antidote: Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking by Oliver Berkman. I'll put the link on the blog post page that I upload this audio to, unless I forget. Hopefully I won't forget. Anyway, it's not truly about like negative thinking, although in some senses it is. Basically, the guy first sort of points out and dismantles the notion that power, the so-called power of positive thinking, the idea that that can actually get you anywhere, because most of the most reliable data makes it pretty clear that for most people, most of the time, it doesn't. And there's reason to suspect that for many people, it makes them feel worse because they have to try to keep a positive outlook and image in defiance of reality, in defiance of the way things turn out. It's like the old Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich. How many people have read that actually grew rich, even if they rigorously followed his ideas? The author, I guess Oliver Berkman, points out that the average person who buys a self-help book apparently bought one 18 months ago, suggesting, of course, that the previous one didn't really do the job. Now, I don't know particularly his source, except apparently it is from the collected data of the sellers of self-help books, the publishers. But it's certainly plausible. I mean, if self-help books worked, not only would they stop having to write them, but presumably society would have improved in certain ways, at least beyond what it is now. So it's a little bit of a silly thing. Whereas this book is sort of focusing on Stoic philosophy, mindfulness, Buddhist meditation ideas, and Buddhist philosophy ideas, various things along those lines. In the first part, he's gone through Stoicism, ancient and modern, and obviously that brought up my own interest in and memory of some of the great lights of Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, all those people, and had its own input on the contents of today's blog post. So I think it's interesting. I think it's probably got a lot better chance of being useful for more people than any of the power of positive thinking type books, let alone, God forbid, The Secret, which is utter nonsense. So yeah, I have little but contempt for the power of positive thinking people. If I think or say something good about them, it may be that at least they're trying. I don't know. trying to make money at the very least. I mean, let's not mince words or pull punches or do any other cliche. But it is an interesting thing, and I'll try to keep you posted if and when I actually encounter some new ideas to me in the book. I haven't actually encountered new ideas, though new specific facts, of course, I have encountered. But it nevertheless brings up ideas that I've dealt with before, and it's always nice to have some ideas looked at from another point of view, at least. Studying physics, learning about physics, it's nice to read more than one person's way of teaching physics, because you will learn in different ways, and some people will have points that others won't that will make more sense to you, ways of seeing things that work for your way of thinking better than, say, someone else's. You know, apparently, with physics, for instance, I mean, Schwinger was very much a mathy guy. Feynman liked the Feynman diagram type approach, the sum over histories. But they both shared the Nobel Prize for quantum electrodynamics. You know, so there's more than one way to skin that particular cat, and most of them, though I recommend against skinning cats. The fur isn't worth much and not much meat. And with that morbid little joke, I'll call today's audio post to a close.